Hello there, this is AD Robles, and you're listening to AD on the Fight Laugh Feast Network. All right. Let's begin today. I wanted to attempt to try to tie a few things together that we've been talking about. And so I noticed that that CrossPolitik had Andrew Klavan, their friend Andrew Klavan, on the channel to discuss the controversy with his video clip and things like that. And I got to be honest with you, I didn't even know really where the controversy started and how it came to be. Because really, these are not my interests, like not my circles, you know what I mean? But at the same time, I found out a little bit more about it through this video, this podcast they put out. And I think I'm the perfect person to talk about it, right? Because first of all, I'm on the network. I'm on the Fight Laugh Feast Network, and so there's that. But also, I don't really care about any of the people involved, not even a little bit. I was telling someone today, I've never seen an episode of Nick Fuentes' show. I wouldn't even know where to find it. I'm assuming it's not on YouTube. I feel like the algorithm would have fed me the Nick Fuentes at this point, but I would assume he's canceled on YouTube. The only thing of Candace Owens I've ever seen was the very first thing that everybody saw where she talks about going to the gym and liking white people and stuff like that. I thought that was pretty good. You know, that was during the woke church stuff. I thought that was pretty good, you know, and so that's literally the only thing I've seen from Candace Owens. I don't really know Andrew Klavan either. I mean, I did see him on CrossPolitik one other time, but I don't remember anything about it, so I don't care. I don't know. You know what I mean? These are just not my circles. And when it comes to Ben Shapiro, you know, I've seen clips of Ben Shapiro, but I've never seen an entire show. I've never desired to see it. I somebody graciously, this was a very nice gift, and so I'm not, like, disregarding the gift, but someone gave me a year-long subscription to Daily Wire. And I still, like, I'm not into Ben Shapiro, you know what I mean? These are just not, I don't care about this, you know what I mean? I don't care, about this people involved, you know? But I thought that the video, you know, kind of reveals one of the problems that we're dealing with here, you know? And I think that it's pretty remarkable. So I'm going to remark on it, and, we're going to start, you know, right around 15 minutes. Where Gabe Wrench, you know, talks about what his problem with Andrew Klavan's clip was. Now here's, I want to start here too, because I think a lot of people, you know, sort of wish that that CrossPolitik went a little harder on Andrew Klavan. And this is where I want to start, right? You know, you get this, you know, this Ligon Duncan, you know, talking about the Moscow mood, how they're just lob grenades indiscriminately. That is crazy. You know, all that kind of stuff. They never handle it like nicely. I honestly, it's such a lie, number one, on the face of it. But number two, I really don't understand. Well, I mean, I know where it comes from, but this reputation is just totally false. These guys are like the nuance kings, you know what I mean? Sure, they lob grenades, but all the way up to the top, you know, and Doug Wilson, you know, he's like the emperor of Moscow, I guess. I've always thought of Doug as like one of the most nuanced people imaginable. And I think that nuance is, you know, especially Doug's version, is pretty good. It's a good thing. Sometimes I think Doug kind of over-nuances things, and it ends up not being that great. But these guys are gracious guys. Like, if you know anything about CrossPolitik in Moscow, like, they get grace, and they build bridges. And the thing is, they do lob grenades, but they lob grenades in the most friendly way you could imagine. And so I think I know what's going on with that. It reminds me of what I used to say about Ruslan. Ruslan, we're good. I'm not mad at you. But what I noticed during our conversation, Ruslan, is that, you know, you're the guy that always talks about, you know, grace towards all or charity towards all. But, you know, often when it comes to how you deal with conservatives, it's really not that charitable, right? I never talk about charity, ever. Nobody will accuse AD Robles of talking about charity. But I show charity. I mean, it's just, it's part of my DNA. And so I think you get the same thing with Moscow. You know, they're very generous. They're very gracious with people that whom they disagree. And I think they do disagree with Klavan here. But they do it in just like this very charming and gracious way. And but at the same time, they're like, you know, they're launching thermonuclear bombs, you know, on a daily basis. But they actually are charitable. They actually are gracious. They actually believe you when you say that, you know, you're a believer in the Lord. And, you know, they take your baptism seriously. So they're not gonna say, oh, Ligon Duncan is a false teacher. And when they refute him, they're gonna refute him with a lot of charity. They embody it instead of talking about it and really never embodying it. And I think we're gonna get into that here in this video, because I think there's definitely a disconnect that lots of people are so guilty of. And so let me get into it here. Hold on. All right, I'm back. I just had to check on something. Here we go.
This is amazing to me.
There's no level. There's no bottom to that battle.
That's right. But I would say one of the things that we're friends, so I'm just be straight up with you. One thing that bothered me about your clip was that I think there's a theological point that I think needs to be made here, in the fact that we believe that Jesus is King, which means we believe that everybody, every knee, as you said in your quote, every knee will bow, every tongue confess, and we believe that that everyone needs to repent of their sins and believe in Jesus. That's what every knee means. Every knee, every bow, every tongue confess. Excuse me. Now, I believe Ben Shapiro needs Jesus. And it's not anti. In fact, we had Ben Shapiro on our show in 2017.
Yeah.
Way before he was as famous as he is now. And I don't think he'd come on again.
But we talked to him about Jesus.
We asked him about Jesus.
Yeah, we did.
And what was funny about it, someone ripped the clip. It went viral on their YouTube channel, not on ours.
He hasn't forgiven
them. Yeah, I've not forgiven that person. I don't even know who that person was. And we asked Ben about Jesus and so forth. And Ben said, the one thing I appreciate about Christians is that they don't want to kill me. They want to convert me.
Yeah.
They want to bring Jesus to me, and they want to, you know, and so I said, well, someday cigar and whiskeys and we'll do it. Yeah. And we'll convert you.
You mean the conversion part.
And we'll baptize you all right there, you know. So we believe that Ben, I believe what's best for Ben is that he needs Jesus. And you mentioned that you correct me here, Andrew, for sure. You mentioned that if Ben were to confess Jesus, would become a Christian, that it would ruin his life. And I would think, actually, yeah, I mean, there's a cost for following Jesus for sure. There's a cost.
Andrew probably knows about that.
Yeah, you know about that.
Yeah, I was going to say, I do know about this.
Yeah. I think that's the best for Ben, though, is like, hey, man, your walk with the Lord is the most important thing here on earth. And it's and you need to repent and believe in Jesus, because I think that's the best thing for you, regardless if you lose, let's say, your, I don't know, show or whatever.
You see what I mean by, I mean, Gabe is a very gracious guy, and this is how Gabe is. This is how Gabe is in person as well. I've met him a number of times, as you might imagine. And this is exactly how he is. How he is on camera is how he is in person. You know what I mean? And he's referring to this weird thing where he said, you know, listen, like if Ben Shapiro would convert to Christ, it would ruin his life. You know, his family would disown him. You know, he'd lose his show. And, you know, I think that God has got him exactly where he wants him, doing the good stuff and doing what's right and stuff like that. He kind of presented that as, you know, he's really not worried about him converting to Christ. This is almost how it sounded. And that's a very good thing to be bringing up here, Gabe. He brought it up in a nice, charming, disarming kind of a way. And I'll just tell you my take on that. I mean, I think he's right. It would ruin his life from a worldly perspective, right? That's like the worst thing that a Jew can do, according to their family, is convert to Christ. I don't know how to say this in a nice way, but Jewish people hate the Lord. And I don't mean that in the generic, you know, everyone who's not a believer hates the Lord. It's in that way too, of course, But it's just like the weirdest thing. Like I'll never forget this. I mean, it was as long as I live. I had a Jewish friend, and you know, we were pretty close. In fact, we lived together for a while. You know, we had, you know, he had a big house, and he rented out rooms to his friends and stuff. And he wasn't religious at all. He wasn't religious at all. But he had this palpable hatred towards anything Christ-related. A hatred that went really deep. And I wasn't a believer at the time, but I was brought up to be a Christian. And so I never really challenged him on it. I never really talked to him about it. But on the inside, I was just like, what is this? It's just so weird. Christmas would come around. He'd get in a bad mood. He hated Christmas. Now, he softened over the years on that. So I don't want to say he's still the same way, because he's not. But at the time, it was just so weird. And I remember thinking, like, this guy doesn't care about Judaism. Like, what? Like, this is not a religious thing. There's just some kind of weird thing here. And that's not uncommon in Jewish communities. That's not uncommon. And that's actually not uncommon with Ben Shapiro. Ben Shapiro is the same way. And we're going to hear about all the agape love that Ben Shapiro has and how he's on the right track, without any mention of the fact that not only does he not follow Christ, he mocks Christ. He hates Christ. Like, it's a palpable hatred. Again, I'm not talking about the generic, how everyone who's not a believer hates Christ. That's true too, but there's something special with something like, with someone like Ben Shapiro. And I know I don't need to say this because my channel, it has above average intelligence. Obviously, this doesn't apply to every single Jew. I'm speaking of generalities here. And so this is a very important question. So Gabe is asking in Gabe's way. I'm asking in my way. You know what I mean? It's like, yeah, like this. Yeah, it would ruin his life. Sure. But that's the cost. And sometimes the cost is very high. And we recognize that, and we understand that. And it's like, as Christians, though, we understand that it's worth the cost. It's worth the cost. And so, you know, we can feel sympathy that that would be very difficult. And it wasn't quite as difficult for me because my family was Christian. I was blessed in that way. But there's a cost associated with it.
Am I getting at a question that makes sense?
Yes, and I want to say that that was the only place in all the stuff that I said, because I talked for like 40 minutes about this stuff.
Yeah.
The only place where I felt I was a little unclear. That was simply an that was not a theological point I was making. Obviously, you know, embracing Jesus cost me a bundle, and in deeply personal ways with my family and things like that. So I understand all of that, and I believe with you that, you know, Ben needs Jesus. We all obviously do. You know, that has nothing. But all I was saying was, just observationally, just looking on, I kind of feel that God has put Ben in a very specific place. In the same way I feel like Jordan Peterson is in this struggle. And sometimes I just want to say to him, Jordan, like, let go, you know, let it go. Take the gift, buddy. Take the gift. You know, right.
He brings up Jordan Peterson a number of times. And I don't know. Is Jordan Peterson on Daily Wire too? Maybe that's why he connects them. I don't know exactly why. But here's the thing. Like, there's a very big difference between Ben Shapiro and Jordan Peterson. You know what I mean? Like Jordan Peterson is lost too. But also, Jordan Peterson doesn't go and mock Christ. You know what I mean? Jordan Peterson, when you hear him, unless I miss something with Jordan, I don't know. I mean, and again, of course, as in a generic sense, yeah, I mean, his whole life is a mockery of Christ. We get that. I'm not talking about that here. I'm talking about, you know, with your mouth, you know, professing. That's what I'm talking about. And so there's a big difference. And he mentions Jordan Peterson as similar in both. When I've heard Jordan Peterson talk about Christ, he obviously is not a believer, but there's a pathos there. There's an emotion there. Some kind of an awe. You know what I mean? I say that in a kind of a generic sense. There's not like a visceral hatred of, you know, I feel totally comfortable mocking Christ on the cross. You know what I mean? Like, there's a big difference between the two. But also, I agree with Clavin completely. Maybe God has him there for a very specific reason. And maybe those reasons are going to benefit the church. In fact, I think they are going to. So even if you take Ben Shapiro's work and you say it's generally good, it's generally helpful, I might disagree with you, but I'm just going to accept it for this argument. It could be that God has him and he's doing God's will without knowing it, without acknowledging it, and all of that kind of stuff. And it's still the will of Christ to destroy him the way that the Babylonians were doing God's will, and yet God destroyed them. The way that that nations that came and sacked Israel were doing God's will, and yet God destroyed them and held them accountable for their sin. So I agree with Clavin, but he wants to make it seem like, well, he's doing God's will and God's smiling on him as well. God wasn't smiling on the nations that decided to go sack the Israelites, even though they were a tool in his hand. We understand that.
Yeah, but like I also see how Jordan's struggle brings people in. And they say, oh, if a guy this smart and, you know, this deep can be in the struggle, maybe I can be in the struggle too. And when they enter the struggle, they're brought over to Christ. And so I think like, well, maybe God is using Jordan's struggle. Maybe he doesn't.
Yeah, I don't think there's any maybe about it. I think 100% he is. 100%. He's using that.
One is struggle to be over. And that was the only thing I was making, a sort of observation of the territory into which Ben speaks so importantly and so well. So that was not a theological point. Okay. But there is a place here where I do feel that I have a different point of view than some people. I'm an Anglican Catholic, which means basically my theology is Catholic. But I'm not beholden to the Pope in Rome, you know, I'm not beholden to the Roman Church. And every week I go to church, and every week I say the Nicene Creed, which I believe is the creed that pretty much covers most Christian faith. And there is no point when I say the Nicene Creed, when I don't believe what I'm saying. There's no point when I'm crossing my fingers. Yeah. That's basically the statement of my belief. But there are other things in Anglican Catholicism that you don't have to believe. They call them pious beliefs, that you won't get hurt if you believe them. One of which is the perpetual virginity of Mary, which I just reading scripture have never been able to embrace.
100%.
And if you've never had the pleasure of arguing about this with a Catholic, you don't know what battle looks like. You know, you could literally, I have had parties at my house where I thought the 30 years war was going to start again, on my patio. And yet I don't think this is going to be on the final exam. I'm sorry. You know, I don't think that your entry into the kingdom is going to depend on whether or not that you believe in the perpetual virginity of Mary, whether or not you believe in it. Yeah. Even though I love talking theology, I love arguing about it, I love, you know, going to scripture and thinking things through, I don't believe that this is a rule-based religion.
Remember the context here. We're talking about Ben Shapiro here. And he's talking about theological debates and how there's no final exam to get into prison, into heaven. there's no theological exam to get into heaven. And, you know, this is stuff that we all believe. You know, you're not saved by theology. You're saved by grace through faith. We understand that. What does this have to do with Ben Shapiro? And it is frustrating, I'll be honest, because... Well, we'll get to it. We'll get to the frustration, right? We'll get to the frustration.
I feel the same way sometimes when I talk to evangelicals about Paul and Jesus. When I say, you know, when people say to me, well, the word of God is this, and they quote Paul, I think, you know, God is actually in the Bible. He actually speaks. Those are his words. I believe the Bible is God-inspired, and I believe that Paul is an inspired saint. But I don't believe he's Jesus. You know, I don't believe they're doing the same thing. I believe that Jesus is here to save the sinners, Maria. To save all of us. Yeah. And I believe that what Paul is doing is constructing a vessel in which that salvation can be transmitted to the nations. And those are two different things. So Jesus repeatedly, and Paul often says this too, repeatedly says that you can say, Lord, Lord, and you can do miracles in Christ's name, and you can cast out demons in Christ's name, but you're going to show up at the kingdom of heaven, and he's going to turn to you and say, I do not know you. I mean, that's harsh stuff. That's not like, you know, I sort of know you. It's like, I recognize your face, you know? And so that, and he also says that there are going to be those who come to whom the king says, you know, you served me, And they're like, we did? We didn't know that. And he says, well, when you serve the least of us, you serve me. Mm-hmm. He says to the Samaritan woman, you don't know which Samaritans don't know what they worship.
So again, this is in the context of talking about Ben Shapiro, okay, a Christ-hating man. And you know, I keep thinking I need to give this caveat. I'm not talking in the general sense, a Christ-hating man, a man who mocks Christ. This is the context. He's kind of like the Samaritan woman, and he's kind of like the guy that in the parable, you know, you served me. Well, when did we serve you? You know, when you were giving people drinks and stuff. Ben Shapiro. And let's continue. I think there's something good here.
And the Jews do know what they worship because salvation is from the Jews. But later, when he uses an example of a holy person, a person who has really been transformed by agape, he uses the example of the Samaritan, the Good Samaritan. You know, basically, what is this person doing? So, and Paul, too, you know, Paul says you can do all this stuff. You can have faith that moves mountains. Mm-hmm. And if you don't have agape, you're nothing. It's not like you're 80% there, not like you're 50% there, 10% there. You are nothing if you don't have agape. Clearly, this is a mission of inner transformation. You can give all your money to the poor, but if you don't have agape, if you have not been transformed within, if you haven't been through the metanoia, you are not entering the kingdom. That you have
remember,
not.
Remember, this is the context. The context is he's talking about Ben Shapiro. And he says a lot more. He says a lot more. And it's unbelievable to me when you take this into the context of what he's talking about. Because there's a lot to agree with what he's saying. No question. No question. You know, I appreciate this. This was a good one. Toby, you know, he talks about, you know, understanding infants that die in infancy and how they're saved by grace through faith. And, you know, they weren't able to enunciate, you know, grace through faith or the Trinity or something. Yet they still had faith because they were his kids. And you know, that's what he believes. There's a lot of good stuff to think through here, right? But I want you to notice the distinction that is being made here, right? Because the whole thing was set up about, oh, you know, there's these rampant anti-Semites out there that, you know, are essentially beyond dispute. I mean, they have nothing to do with Christianity. And they're saying Christ is king. Can you believe it? And they're anti-Semites. Nick Fuentes, Candace Owens, anti-Semites. Clear as crystal. We don't like that. We don't like them. We have no reason to believe they're believers, right? And they're saying Christ is king. Can you believe it? There's no quarter for them. There's no quarter for them. And then you have a man who mocks the Lord Jesus Christ. Not in the generic sense. I'm going to say it again. He hates the Lord. But, you know, he's a gift to the church. God's got him exactly where you want him. And, you know, we've got all these examples of people that have agape love, but they don't know what they worship. And, you know, I mean, he essentially makes the case that he's on the path to salvation. If not already saved. That's what's said here. So you got the Jewish man who hates the Lord, not in the generic sense, like he actually mocks Christ. He's probably saved. And then you've got these raging anti-Semites who say Christ is king. We have no reason to believe that they're we hate those people. And you gotta ask yourself, what is going on here? What are they talking? What is he talking about? Now again, keep in mind how I started this. I don't know Nick Fuentes. I don't care. I don't know Candace Owens. Again, I don't care. I know a little about Ben Shapiro. Don't care. What is he talking about? Why is there this huge disconnect? Where is the grace for Nick Fuentes? I don't understand. We've got, and I said this on Twitter the other day. It was just a joke, but the more I thought about it, the more I realized that this is actually something to think through. Somebody, I did a video, and I just kind of off the cuff said, you know, like, yeah, sure, there's a lot of maniacs and crazy people on the internet. You know what I mean? Insane people on the internet out there. Sure, they're, you know, they're saying Christ is king, but they really just hate Jews. Sure, there's crazy maniacs on the internet. And then somebody commented on it, and he said, I feel seen. You know what I mean? Because he's saying, I'm one of the crazies on the internet. Not me, him. I'm definitely not one of the crazies on the internet. And then I just had an off-the-cuff thought, just as a joke. But I want you to hear this, because there's something here, I think, that we need to think through. I said, you know, in evangelicalism, we've got some people that have a heart for the Muslims. We've got people who have a heart for the homosexuals. We've got others that have a heart for, you know, the Southeast Asians. But a man who has a heart for crazy people on the internet, who can find? There's something there. I was just joking when I said that, right? So I can't pretend to be like this wise sage, right? I was just joking. But there's something there, man. I even saw, you know, Bendel Wary said this. Let me see if I can find it real quick, because I thought this was so smart. And it kind of hits the nail on the head of what I was getting at. Let me see if I can find it here. Here we go. Bendel Wary says this: if you want to translate the utter offense the Pharisees experienced when Jesus ate with tax collectors and sinners into modern terms, you shouldn't imagine him sitting with regime-approved grotesques. Instead, imagine the anti-Semitic griper, which I guess is the Nick Fuentes guys, the anti-Semitic griper whom society has declared unclean. You want to be like Jesus? It's time to treat the griepers with a little bit of that agape love you're still talking about. Because they're the ones that are the most unacceptable people in our society. And it's just so fascinating to me that, like, with Woke Wars 1, you know, like, nothing could be more unacceptable than being a racist against blacks, right? And yet, we're being told that blacks experience, like, the most, it's like the worst thing ever, there's so many races, everyone's a racist. And it's like, it's at the same time, it's literally the most unacceptable thing, or so I thought. Those two things don't compute. But I was wrong. It's actually with Jews. Here's what's going on. You see these commercials every time I watch a Ranger game, which, by the way, the Rangers made the playoffs yesterday. Big time. Big time. The best Ranger team I've ever seen. That's a hands down. Hands down. Every time I watch a game, I get, you know, Anti-Defamation League commercial. Oh, you know, anti-Judaism is, you know, 100% more than last year. There's just so many anti-Semites out there. Meanwhile, at the same time, the most unacceptable thing that you can be labeled as in our culture is an anti-Semite. That is the most unacceptable thing. And they're still claiming that they're the biggest victims out there. And you treat them that way. It's the griepers. I know nothing about the griepers. I don't know Nick Fuentes. I've never watched a show. I don't even know where to find a show, even if I wanted to, which I don't. Where's the even scales here? How did we get to the point where a Christ-hating Ben Shapiro is, oh, he's close to the kingdom. He's really close. That's the impression you get here. He might even already be saved. God's got a mission for him, and he's right on mission. Yeah, that mission could be to destroy him. Not saying it is. It could be. And there's lots of evidence that that's the track he's on. Hopefully that's not where it ends up, because God can save anybody. We all get that. But in what freaking planet does it make sense where that guy's close to the kingdom, he's just about there actually, probably already saved, but who really got to watch out for are the people that say Christ is king. That's the ones you got to watch out for, that say the unsavory things about Jewish people. Those are the people that, I mean, can they even be saved? Well, I guess anyone can be saved, but those guys are like Pharisees. That's what he says. The people that insist, he makes it seem like if you insist that someone bow the knee to Christ and they need to be saved by the gospel, by grace, through faith, you're like a Pharisee. He says it's like a game show where you get the right quiz question answer. That's how he sees it. I feel like I'm taking crazy pills. The only pills I take are vitamins. How? How did we get here? Why is it like this? I don't know. I mean, I just don't know. It's unbelievable. I mean, I thought we had kind of been through this already. Woke War 2 is really not that different than Woke War 1, except people that were in on the right side on Woke War 1 are now on the wrong side of Woke War 2. I don't understand. And I think that the guys across politics, I mean, they did what they do. They pushed back on this, and they heard his answers, and they kind of assigned it the best possible meaning. That's what they do. They always do that. They try to find the things where they can kind of agree if they kind of alter it a little bit, and there, you know, there was some agreement here. And I think that there was some stuff to agree with here, but I understand he's your friend, man. Like, Andrew, you're friends with Ben Shapiro. That's great. Understand that, you know, you want to believe the best about him. That's great. But nowhere in this is there an acknowledgement that, like, Ben Shapiro is not just some, you know, everyday, like, I don't really consider Christ, and that's how I hate Christ. No, he hates Christ. He mocks Christ. And you're here to tell me that because he's got good opinions on capitalism and the economy, and he's teaching, you know, against DEI and stuff like that, that somehow is like that evidence stacks up against him hating the Lord. And I don't know. I mean, I got to believe that evidence. I don't get it. I don't get it. He compares it to the guy who the father tells him to go do some work. And one of his sons says, sure, I'll do it, but then doesn't. And then the other one says, you know, I'm not going to do it. And then he goes and does it. That's a beautiful parable. I love that parable. That's a wonderful parable. I was teaching it to my kids just the other day. Just the other day, I was teaching that to my kids. But that's not the case with Ben Shapiro. Ben Shapiro says, yeah, you sure, you know, like, yeah, I'm not going to do it. And then he curses him to his face to the present. Where am I wrong here? Where am I wrong? I don't know, man. I don't know. There's a weird dynamic at play. And again, I have no, like, sympathies for Nick Fuentes or Candace Owens. I don't know these people. I don't listen to them. I don't pay attention to them. They're not part of my life. They're not part of my universe. I don't care. It's as simple as that. I mean, it's just the end. I just ignore them. Okay? And I know a lot of people don't. That's fine. That's fine. But there's something upside down. That's what I'm going to say. There's something upside down. And it really does feel like you get it right, but the moment someone says anything unsavory about Jewish people, that all of a sudden there's a section in your brain that just clicks into gear, and what you say, it sounds indistinguishable. Indistinguishable from what I would hear from Neil Shenvey or Eric Mason. Where am I wrong here? I don't understand. Help me out, guys. Help me out. I'm asking for help. I don't know exactly what's going on. People say it's a Scofield Reference Bible. I'm inclined to say that that's probably part of it. You know what I mean? 100%. 100%. But I don't get it, guys. I don't get it. That's the show. Hope you found this helpful. If you want me to go into more of what Klavan says here, because he goes pretty far. I mean, I just kind of cut it off there, but he kind of goes pretty far with how, you know, probably Ben Shapiro is already saved. Simple as that. He goes, I might not be saved, but Ben Shapiro, you know. I don't get it, guys. I really don't get it. Hope you found this video helpful. God bless. Oh,